Always helps to have the mic. Thank you. Awesome. I gotta confess, I'm with Josh this morning, who did one of the prayers. I can't stop thinking about cake either now. Thank you for that, Tom. Is anyone else thinking about cake? Yeah? I mean, it's a bit cruel, isn't it, to say there's cake at the back, but you're going to have to sit in your chair for the next hour and not think about the cake, because that's all I can do is think about the cake. I know it's back there. I know that if I'm not quick, someone else is probably going to get there, but I've got to, you know, pretend that I still want to listen and face forward and get engaged. So I'm trusting that you're all looking at me and you're not thinking about cake now. Okay, that's what I'm trying to do, is help you not think about cake. I've seen it. It's got a lot of icing on it. It is really, really tasty. But don't think about the cake, okay? We on the same page? Great. No one's thinking about the cake. Brilliant. This bit of time is going to fly by then, isn't it? No one's thinking about cake. We're going to have lots of fun. Yeah, as Tom said, my name's Matt. It is a real privilege to be able to just share briefly with you this morning as well, and to kind of share some thoughts into what is our Dedication Sunday. It was brilliant to see the kids come up here and get prayed for, and for the parents to commit their ways to God, which is what they were saying, wasn't it? That's what they were doing today, that they wanted to commit their ways to God, as well as committing these young girls to God, wanted to bring them to God and say, hey, you know what? We need you, God. If we're going to have, these girls are going to be the best people that they can be, if they're going to grow up to be the best young women that they possibly can be, have the right characteristics, all of the right good godly qualities, we need help to do that. And we can't do it on our own. Hopefully you guys, you know, you've got family, you've got friends, you've got the whole of the church family who've stood up and said, we're going to be with you and we're going to spur you on and encourage you. We've got that support, which is great, but nothing compares to what God can bring into the equation. There's nothing better than knowing God intimately, than having that relationship with God, that having that intimacy with God, who after all is the God who created these wonderful little children. Didn't he? I mean, I don't know if you've stopped and thought about that, but I just wanted to stop and think about that for a moment, because we're not inviting God into something that he's completely oblivious of. It's not like God turned up this morning and went, oh, who? Who are these kids? I have never seen them before in my life. Some of you might have thought that, but God didn't think that. God didn't go, wow, oh, that's a pretty special one over there. Okay, I suppose I better invest a bit of my time in that little one. No, God didn't think like that. God was there at the moment of conception. God was there in the creation process. And I love that God is a creator God. God who, after all, is the God we believe who created the entire universe. The God who made the heavens and the earth. The God who made the first man and the first woman and is continuing to create and bring creativity and bring life into every new person. That's amazing. And when DNA was brought together with DNA, when atoms and molecules were formed and forged, God was in the midst of that creation process. God was breathing life into that new person. God was putting a unique personality into these two little girls. God was putting his fingerprints all over them and giving them their own unique fingerprints. I mean, isn't that amazing to think that yet again, God has managed to find a unique way to identify his children, that every single one of us has our own unique fingerprints. And these girls who we've dedicated today have got unique fingerprints. God had his design on them right from the beginning. So when we gather and we say, you know what, we want to bring these kids to God, God's saying, of course, that's exactly what I want as well. That's exactly what I was after all along. I wanted to be part of their life. That's why I created their life in the first place. And that's an amazing thing to have. Bible says in the book of Psalms, amazing poetry about God and to God. And in Psalm 139, it says this. I'll just read it to you quickly. It says, for you created my inmost being. Not just my flesh and my bones, but my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And I just love that phrase, you knit me together in my mother's womb. It's not kind of like a granny god that's sitting in a rocking chair with a blue rinse. And you know when they make those little teddy bears or little jumpers. Not like, you know, God's not sitting there knitting. It's God's taking DNA, taking the mum DNA and the dad DNA, and he's knitting them together and creating new life and new personality. God made you. God made these girls. And we celebrate that this morning. And of course, I'm not just talking about the little girls, am I? I'm talking about every single one of us. Because if you think that's true for these little girls, well, guess what? It's true for you too. If you're here this morning, if you've got life in you, if you've got breath in your lungs, well, guess what? God made you that way. God made you. God created you. God knitted you together. God knows you, your innermost being, and he cares for you. That's how amazing our God is. And any good parent knows, I'm sure you guys know here who come and brought your girls to be dedicated this morning. Any good parent knows that once the baby is born, that's not the end of it. It's not like, oh, I've done my job. I've given birth. Great. New baby sorted. That's not the end of the job, is it? That's the beginning. That's the beginning of all the hard work and the graft and the late nights and the tears. But actually, it's also the beginning of a wonderful relationship. That person that you helped to form, that you created and that you've brought into this world, you now get to start a relationship with those children. You get to invest your time into them. You get to encourage them. You get to build them up, to spur them on, to guide them, to protect them, to discipline them when you need to. But you get to love them. And I'm sure as parents, you do love your girls fiercely. And I think that's a really beautiful picture of actually what God wants too. Because when God made us, when he knitted us together in our mother's womb, when he gave us life and personality and our own unique DNA and our own unique fingerprints, you know what else he gave us? He gave us himself. Because he wants to be in relationship with us. God wants what any good parent wants. God wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to encourage us. He wants to discipline us. He wants to set us up on the right path in life. He wants to pick us up when we fall down. He wants to protect us. He wants to give us the best shot at having the best kind of life. But I wonder if actually the way that we sometimes think about God, the way we sometimes treat God, I know for myself, I've been there in the past. Actually, our relationship isn't quite like that. Sometimes the way that we treat God is more like your stereotypical picture of the angry teenager, right? You know the one I mean? You know the monosyllabic teenager who just grunts? Yeah, you've probably all been that person. Some of you possibly have those people in your houses right now. We've all been there. We've been that monosyllabic teenager who, and maybe we treat God the way that kind of a grumpy teenager might treat their parents, that really there's hardly any communication, that we just expect them to provide the, you know, the bare essentials, the food and a bed. And really what we want is just to be left to ourselves. We just want to be left alone. Just leave us to get on with our own life. We know best. We know what's right. We want to live our lives our way and do our own thing. And we really don't want you to be involved. Thank you very much. Except, of course, when there's crisis or when there's money that needs to be had, or there's that late night phone call that says, I need a lift. Can you come and pick me up? Maybe that's a fairer, more accurate description of how you view your relationship with God. That, yeah, he may be somebody who made you. Maybe he's someone you even acknowledged this morning that exists. But is he somebody that you're actively involving in your life? Is he somebody that you're including in the decisions and the daily motions of what you're going through? Is he somebody who you talk to and ask for advice and who can encourage you and who can protect you and can comfort you when you fall down? Or is he somebody who you just cry out to in crisis when things go really, really wrong? And we find ourselves at that place going, God, where are you in the midst of this? Do you know what the beautiful thing about God is? Even if that's true, he still answers. And Jesus tells a really powerful story, which I'll just touch on briefly. It's in Luke chapter 15. He tells a really powerful story which describes the Father's heart for his children. The father who in this story is representing God. And just to give you the background before we jump in the verse, we have a story, we have a young man who's grown up in the wealth and the comfort and the security of his father's house, but he chooses to reject everything that his father has stood for and his father has provided. He says, I want my inheritance now. The thing that I deserve when you die, I want it now. I'm basically saying you're as good as dead to me. I don't want anything else to do with you. Just give me my inheritance so I can live my own way. And the son takes that inheritance and he goes off and he does what many of us do. He goes and lives for himself. He makes choices based around what's best for him. And in the story, he parties, he drinks, he socializes, he gets together with all sorts of people, and he has a great time until it's all gone. And he finds that they're all gone. All his friends, all his connections, they leave him because he has nothing left worth to give. And he finds himself in the worst possible place. He finds himself living with the pigs, eating pig food, because he has nothing left. And he gets to that point where he cries out to his father. And it says in these verses, let's just read them on the screen, Luke 15, verse 17 to 24. It says this. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. He said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said this to his servants. He said, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. They probably had cake as well, just saying. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. God's heart for his children is that he doesn't want any one of them to be lost. God's heart for his creation, for these little girls who we've dedicated today, is he is saying yes and amen to all of the prayers that we've prayed this morning, because God wants to be in their life more than we want God to be in their lives. God wants it more than we do. God is like the father in this story who is waiting patiently for his children to come on home to him again. And you know what? Just like in the story, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you've been away from God. It doesn't matter what situations you found yourselves in. If you want to have that relationship with the Father, do you know what the Father always says? He always says, come on home. I'm waiting for you. And you know, the last thing I want to say to you guys, and to say to you guys who've been dedicated as well, because you'll get this, is that this love that God demonstrated, this love that God showed, actually God went even further, because he sacrificed everything for you and for me and for these little girls. And guys, parents here today who've just had your kids dedicated, you'll understand this, that the level of sacrifice is connected to the relationship with the child. See, we've all stood up. This morning, we've all stood up and said, yeah, we're for these kids and we believe in them and we're going to encourage them and spur them on. And we will all play our part. But for some of us, it will be from a distance. You know, what we'll actually give up for these kids, let's be honest, will probably be fairly minimal, because we might not have that strong a relationship with that family here today. If you are close friends and family of those kids, well, your level of sacrifice is going to be higher. Now, you're willing to kind of spend time with them. You're willing to take them away for the weekends. You're willing to buy them presents, and you're willing to kind of nurture that relationship with them, because, and rightly so, you should, because you've got better connection to those young people. Well, that's nothing compared to what the parents are going to do. Because the parents are going to be willing to sacrifice their time. They're going to be willing to sacrifice probably their health, their sleep. They're willing to sacrifice their own kind of wants and needs to be able to provide for those kids. Because that's what a good parent does, right? A good parent sacrifices for their children. Well, guess what? That's still nothing compared to the sacrifice God is willing to pay to have that relationship with you and me, to have that relationship with these girls this morning. It's nothing. God loved his world so much. God loved his creation so much. God loved you so much that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, into this world. Jesus, who lived a perfect life and died on a cross in our place. Jesus, who took all of those things that we did wrong, all those mistakes that we'd made, all that rejection of God that we had thrown and scorned and put in his face, all the stuff that we just mess up in our lives, all the times when we think we're getting it right and really we're just getting it wrong and we're living selfish lives. The Bible calls all that sin. But Jesus took all of that sin and he took it on himself so that when he died on the cross, there would be a way for you and for me to have that relationship with the Father God again. The problem with this story that we read is that the Father is distant and waiting and is far off. But that's not actually a true picture of what God is like, because God is here right now. God is in our presence. He's amongst us. And God wants to have a relationship with us. And God knew that he couldn't just stay distant. He couldn't just say, even though we may have rejected him, he didn't want to reject us. So he made a way by sending Jesus Christ. And God says, and the Bible says, that anyone who finds themselves in Jesus, anyone who accepts that sacrifice that Jesus paid when he died on the cross, anyone who's willing to say, I want to live for God and not for myself, well, God's right there with arms open wide, saying, welcome home. We pray for these girls. We pray that they would know that truth. We pray that they wouldn't have to have those moments where they walk away or reject God. We believe that God has the best for them. But we believe it for ourselves too. For all of us, right? We believe that. God this morning wants to call his children home. And I want you to hear this because it's so important that you know it. So all the things that I've been saying this morning about the girls, about God's love, about the way that he knitted us, that is true for you. God loves you. God knitted you in your mother's womb. He knows your personality. He knows your character. He knows your flaws. And he loves you. And more than that, he cares for you. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to encourage and discipline and spur you on. He wants to be a father to you today. And he hears when you call. Just like the father in the story, he hears when you call. And he's even willing to die for you. So my encouragement to all of us, to you this morning, wherever you're at right now, my encouragement to you is this. It's time to come home. It's time to come home to the Father because he loves you. He made you. He wants to be in relationship with you. And he's calling you home today. All we have to do is ask Jesus into our lives. We need to surrender ourselves to God. Accept that we have made mistakes along the way and we need Jesus in our lives. And if we do that, God will welcome every single one of you. And I really believe that is a word for some of you this morning. I think we all need to hear it, whether you've in that point where you've allowed your relationship with God to drift a little bit or whether you're walking really closely to him and you know that Father's heart intimately. It's always worth having that little check of where we're at. And I also think specifically, I think young people in the youth group, I think there's some of you here who have been drifting in the Father's house. You've just been growing up in church. You've been just living kind of lives the way that you think is right, but you've never fully asked God to come and take charge. Well, I want to say to you and to all of you this morning, if you want to know the Father's heart for you, if you want to know that intimate relationship with God, if you want to have God in charge and giving you his best, well, then come on home this morning. Can I pray for us? I'm going to pray. Let's close our eyes, bow your heads if you feel that's appropriate. And I want to pray and I want to ask you right now, if anything that I've said to you this morning has made sense, if anything's connected with your heart, if you felt there's something that maybe God is speaking to you right now, maybe you've never known God as a beautiful, loving, caring Father, well, now's your chance to respond to that. Now's your chance to say yes to God. So I'm going to pray for all of us, but I'm going to ask you, if you want to say yes to God, if you want to give your life to God this morning, maybe you need to recommit yourself. Maybe it's for the first time. If you want to do that this morning, would you raise your hand up right now? Just pop it up in the air, and I'll see you, and I'll pray for you. I'm going to pray for everyone, but I just want to give you that chance. If you want to say yes to God right now, raise your hand up in the air so I can see. Thank you. Amazing. Anyone else? Awesome. Well, I'm going to pray. Thank you for that, for the hands that went up. I'm going to pray. Join with me if you can. Father God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that as much as we want to be part of your life, you want it far, far more. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus Christ into this world. I thank you that he died in my place on the cross. He took my sin and my shame, and he gave me new life and a new hope. And he gave me access to you, Father God in heaven. He gave me relationship with you. Thank you that Jesus did all that, and I claim it for myself right now. I claim it. I claim that relationship with God. Come, have your way in me. And God, I pray you would come by your Holy Spirit. We invite you right now to come into our lives. Teach us your ways. Let us know your Father's heart for us. Let us know the love you have for us, and let it lead us in the way that we live our life. We love you, God. We give our all to you. Amen.